And before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. So today's Torah portion, Parshat Tetzaveh, you shall command, is such a rich passage of scriptures, speaking of the anointing of Aaron and his sons for the priesthood. It is a very rich and deep place of scriptures. So let us open Exodus chapter 28 and Exodus chapter 29. And we'll go probably through we'll see at the end how many places of the scripture we read today. Many. So, Exodus 28, verse 2. And again, thank you, Brian. Thank you, Molly. Everything was such a beautiful and powerful in the presence of the Lord. And it's about today's Torah portion. You are to make for your brother Aaron garments set apart for serving God, expressing dignity and splendor. Dignity and splendor. Please remember these words. Dignity and splendor. Exodus 29, verse 4. You are to bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then take the garments and put the tunic on Aaron along with the robe, the ephod and the breastplate. Gird him with the artfully woven band of the ephod. Set the turban on his head and put the holy coronet on the turban. Then you are to take the anointing oil, pour it upon his head and anoint him. Amen. And the last place of scriptures, it is verse 44. 44. So after everything done and finished, verse 44. So I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. And again, after everything done. So prepare the way of the Lord so he can bless us. So I will sanctify the tent of meeting and the altar. I will also sanctify Aaron and his sons to minister to me as Kahanim or priests. So I will dwell among Bnei Israel and be their God. Then they will know that I am Adonai, their God, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, so that I may live among them. I am Adonai, their God. Amen. The priest's garments indicate his function. His clothing reveals the work of the Lord has entrusted to the priest to be a mediator, a go-between, a bridge between fallen and sinful humanity and the perfect and holy God. The priest has to be a mediator. Therefore, the priest had to be from the sons of Israel to know his people's problems, weaknesses, and difficulties for whom he would intercede when he came before the Lord. He would serve as an intercessor and mediator. As a mediator, the priest would make communication possible between God and his people as a mediator. As an intercessor, the priest would plead to God on behalf of his people. It was the function of high priest, of the priest, priesthood. In a way, the priest was a type of redeemer. Because he made an atoning sacrifice on behalf of his people who needed God's redemption. Thus, the priest, in his assigned mission, foreshadowed the great high priest, Yeshua the Messiah. Let us say together, Yeshua the Messiah. Who one day would enter the great throne room of God on behalf of all humanity, all of us, and then return bringing mercy and forgiveness to all who were open to receive. to all of us. We are here because of him. When the priest on Yom Kippur went out before the people and performed a burnt offering in the courtyard of the tabernacle, he should have been dressed in special golden robes in which every detail indicates the perfection, glory of the Lord, the holiness, and the splendor of God. The priest shone in the eyes of the sons of Israel in his golden, beautiful robe, being a shadow and the representative of the Lord on this earth. Please think about it. It was gorgeous and terrifying when a man of God, in his golden garments, pronounced the will of the Lord on Yom Kippur. It was glory and also terrifying moment. However, when the priest on Yom Kippur entered the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he wore completely different clothes, a white linen tunic, a linen shirt without any decoration, without any gold on it. Because only complete humility and meekness are acceptable in the presence of God. The white linen tunic was a picture of the righteousness of the Lord. It was a prophetic picture of his righteousness. And you know what? His righteousness, not ours, but his, the Lord's righteousness, is the only condition by which a person would not die in the presence of the Lord. His righteousness. What a beautiful picture here. A sinful and weak man, high priest, he was sinful and weak, who knows the weaknesses and problems of his people, who was part of his people, in humility, complete humility, brings the blood of a sacrificial animal, an atoning sacrifice for sin, for his own sin, and the sins of Israel, only because of God's righteousness. Hallelujah. And he was dressed in the garment of humility, of God's holiness and the righteousness that only the Lord can give. Amen. And all this magnificent picture that we see in the Torah becomes a prophetic indication for our future hope, a future Messiah, and a perfect sacrifice. There is only one God. Amen? I'm glad you said amen. It is about only one God, the Lord. And there is only one way to him, through the sacrifice of his Son, our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is only one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, a human Messiah, Yeshua. In him we see two components. He is the perfect Lord, the Son of God, who was born and became a man in order to redeem us. And he is a Son of Man, who was born in this world to be a representative of us before his Father. What a splendor of his ministry. The glory of the Son of God on him. Miracles and healings constantly occurred around him. Demons were afraid and obeyed him. Do you remember all these stories? You need to read it carefully and remember it. They recognized him as the Son of God. They recognized his splendor, his ministry, his glory. He was clothed with the garments of high priest. Authority of the Lord was on him. The dead were resurrected at his command. With two words. Come on. Come on. Enough. Raised from the dead. You remember the story of Lazarus? What is story? 4 days in grave. Oh. open his grave. Master, but he is already 4 days there, and it's heat in Israel. It's so hot. Can you imagine what is there? And he said, Lazarus, come out. It's enough for you. Come out. What a glory. I don't want to ask you, do you want to have the same power? Yeah, we want to pray and we want to see miracles in our lives. He walked on water as on land. I mean, here's the lake and it's a great opportunity for us to try, but it's not easy to do. He walked on water as on dry land. He holds this earth by his word. He's the Son of God. He's the beginning of everything. He turned water into wine. Somebody say amen. Good thing, yeah? And many more. I think it was the best wine on this earth. What do you think? I'm not sure red wine or white wine, but it was the best of everything. I mean, can you imagine? He has all power. He's all-powerful Lord. And many more remarkable and miraculous events marked his time on earth because he wore the cloth of the magnificence and glory of God. He was, and he is the Son of God. He is the perfect high priest. He's the master of anything, everything, of universe. Yeshua said about himself in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and Father are one. What can you say about that? They tried to kill him immediately. It was their answer to his words. Because he said, I and the Father are one. And at the same time, incredibly, it's a mystery of the scriptures. He was dressed in weak human flesh. He was born as a man and lived on this sinful and corrupt planet as a man. It's a mystery of the scriptures. Scripture calls Yeshua the Son of God, emphasizing his divine nature. And at the same time, Yeshua calls himself the Son of Man. The same time. John chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. John 3, 13, 14, and 15. No one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven. He speaks about himself as the one who came down from heaven. From heaven. And the next words, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Super. High priest, all-powerful. He has the power to raise the dead, Yeshua the Messiah. His title, the Son of Man, it is his title. He became a Son of Man. Reveals the nature of the high priest, born as a man in a human body in order to become an intercessor and mediator between God and the people. High priest supposed to know problems of this world, to be able to intercede before God. When Yeshua was born on this earth, he became the image of the Lord for us. And looking at him, we saw the Heavenly Father. When Yeshua was crucified and appeared before the Lord with his own blood, the blood of redemption, he represented all humanity, all of us. He became the perfect high priest, advocating for us in the presence of the Heavenly Father. So when we know these very simple words, The Lord is for us. This is it. Yeshua is for us. He is a mediator. He is intercedes for us in the presence of the Lord. Even now, even today, in this moment, He is praying for you. He stands for you because He loves you. The Lord Yeshua showed us His perfect love. He came to us dressed in this weak body, became a man born on this earth, bearing all the hardships, enduring suffering such as you and I will never know. He fought with all the spiritual world in order to redeem us. And here's the truth of the Bible. Please remember it. Yeshua died as a man because God cannot die. And He brought His blood to the heavenly altar, where it became the only currency that would buy our freedom from sin and death, Yeshua's blood. When we do Sudat HaMashiach, we remember His blood, His death, and His resurrection. This is why it is so holy, so perfect moment to repent, to get closer to the Lord. He knows how to help you and me, how to pray for us, how to protect us. He knows perfectly. So, and now I want to talk about us. Let's go practically for us. Mazel Tov, congregation. We all are priests. First Peter says that we are priests. We all are priests. And we have to wear two kinds of spiritual garments, the gold and the white linen garments. We have to wear it. We are called to walk in this earth in His golden robes, to be Yeshua's representatives, ambassadors on this earth. And thank you, Molly. True, it's not a cheap thing to do. It is very expensive. It takes effort. It takes our prayer, it takes our life. Actually, whole life. Not only part of life, but whole life. We are called to be children of God. Children of God. Congratulations, you are the child of God. Child of God. Such a title for you. Child of the living God, Almighty Lord. You are the child of God. Everything you do, everything you say, how to live, all should reflect the image of the Lord. And I know sometimes we are missing because, you know, in Hebrew, sin means, head means go not in the right direction, but miss the target. We all do that, but we call to be His people, His children. You are a son or a daughter of God. You are made in His image and likeness. You are the child of the King. Please remember that. At the same time, when you enter into His presence, in the prayer or in your daily life, leave behind all your golden clothes, all your power and glory, all your pride, all your success. Leave behind you. Because that is the only way to approach the Lord, wearing the simple white garments of humility and the righteousness of Yeshua. The only way to the Lord. It is righteousness of Yeshua. Standing in the presence of the Lord, we have nothing to justify us except the sacrifice of Yeshua. Nothing. Understand that only God, only Yeshua, the Lord, is our righteousness and our justification. In conclusion, but my conclusion can be 30 minutes, it doesn't matter anything. But in conclusion, I want to read a scripture that fills my heart with joy. And specifically today, and this time, this week, when I read it, it fills my heart with joy, with joy. Luke chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6. Luke 3, as it is written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of the crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Adonai and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And the verse 6, and all humanity shall see the salvation of God. Actually, salvation, our Savior, Yeshua. The Lord is our Savior. We are all in this place, all of us. I'm pretty sure why. Maybe not 100%, but for most of, I'm sure why. Because we want to be blessed by the Lord. This is why we are here. We want to have His blessing. We want to be blessed by His presence. I believe that we all want to see the Lord in our lives, our families, and those around us. This is why we are here. We want to see the Lord. It is our goal. It is our dream, our prayer. We want spiritual awakening, the revival in our families, our workplaces, in Jerusalem, in our cities and our countries. We want revival from the Lord. By spiritual revival, I mean the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, spiritual longing and spiritual searching in the hearts and minds of people. We want to see people looking for the Lord, looking for the answers from the Lord. We want to see it. As it says in the Bible, Joel chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Please, think about it. Joel 3, 1, 2. So it will be afterward. I will pour out my Ruach, my Spirit, on all flesh. We are flesh on us. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. Also on the male and the female servants will I pour out my Spirit in those days. We are His servants. Not only men, but female too. All of us, we are His servants. Most of all in my life, I want to see the salvation of the Jewish people. I dream of the day prophesied by Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul, Romans 11, 25 and 26. I would like to read it. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. It is written already in the scriptures, in the Bible. It is the promise of the Lord. It is yes and amen. Nothing can change it. It's true. The deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. And this is my covenant with them. This is my covenant. You know, what does it mean, covenant with the Lord? Everything will change. This earth will disappear. But covenant with the Lord will stay forever. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Amen. True. No doubts. These words of the Apostle Paul are based and also goes together with the prophecy from the book of the righteous prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah 12, 10. And here's the prophetic picture about Yeshua. Then I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. When they will look towards me, whom they pierced. Who it is? Who is it? Yeshua. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. Yeshua. And grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Who? Yeshua. I live for this day, and you too, I believe. I serve the Lord and ask Him to allow me to be a part of these great days. This is my dream, my goal, my passion, my vision, and aspiration of my whole life, to see the Lord moving in us and through us in His people. And I believe that we all want to see the Lord, great and exalted. His glory descending into the streets of our cities. We want to see people coming to the Lord. It's our dream, our prayer. And if there is a prayer pleasing to the Lord, it is a prayer for the salvation and repentance of people dying in unbelief and their sins. This prayer is always pleasing to the Lord. You and I are blessed because we have such an opportunity to stay in the house of the Lord, to pray, to worship, glorify God in the Holy Spirit, in His presence. We're so blessed by the Lord. But I want to share an important secret, and you know secret, that people often miss. We can wait for the revival and repentance of entire cities. We can dream about it. But the essential truth from the Bible is in a few words. And please remember these words. The revival starts with me. Say these words with me. The revival starts with me. Before it goes to the streets of the city, it starts here. This is why Luke 3:4 says, "Prepare the way of Adonai and make his path straight." Prepare the way of Adonai. Prepare the way of the Lord, or for the Lord. Dress in the magnificent priestly robes that were given to you by Yeshua the Messiah. This is the secret of true spiritual awakening, the revival in the true sense of this word. You need to remember that you are the vessel or a vessel of God's glory. The Holy Spirit is in you. Your part is to put on Yeshua the Messiah. This is why in Romans 13 said, instead, put on the Lord Messiah Yeshua. Put on. God chose you and saved you with the precious blood of His Son so that you would live filled with the Holy Spirit, walk in His power, be His instruments on this earth. Start preparing a place for the Lord in your life. It is the first thing to do, because revival starts with you. First, give Him a place in your own heart. Then open the doors of the Holy Spirit in your family. Invite Him to your family. And then to your community and everywhere you go. Because you are the source of spiritual awakening. Our spirit and our life is like a spring of water. Sometimes over time becomes clothed with all sorts of rubbish. And it's very difficult for water to flow. When the flow is blocked, the freshness of God's presence is gone. You don't see the Lord, you don't feel Him. And all that needs to be done is clear your source of spiritual water from garbage and confess our sins or your sins to the Lord. And then the Spirit of God will flow like a spring, like a mighty river, washing away everything unnecessary in its path. I know something from the Scriptures in my life also, in the life of other people. You know that the Holy Spirit is the Lord. And the Bible compares Him to a fountain of living water. He is the fountain, true source of the living water. And sometimes, I notice this, it is a tiny and quiet stream flowing from our hearts. You barely can hear Him. You need to be careful to hear His voice. But sometimes, it is a mighty and wide river that washes away all obstacles when He's moving through you in your life. Amen. Some of us may not feel needed or special, but these are false feelings and thoughts. If you don't feel yourself special in the eyes of those, it's false. You are unique and very important in the eyes of Yeshua. And here's the example, very simple example. Remember that Yeshua entered Jerusalem not on a magnificent royal horse of an expensive breed, but on a... Yeah. So I don't want to go to joke here because I remember a few cartoons about the royal horse and small donkeys. But Yeshua entered the Jerusalem on a small, simple donkey. A donkey carried the Savior of the world, and we don't know even donkey's name. It was so special, but we don't know its name. But this donkey carried the Savior of the world, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords on its back into Jerusalem as a part of fulfilling of the prophecy. Hallelujah. Can you think about it? Even a small donkey was so important in the Bible. And at this time, the very same time, the noble horses were standing in the stall and waiting for the great awakening and never prepared themselves. They missed opportunity. I want to conclude with the place from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19. And this is the very last place of the scriptures for today. Revelation verse 19, verse 6 through verse 9. Revelation 19, 6 through 9. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters. And can you imagine this picture? Or like the rumbling of powerful thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For Adonai Elohei Tzavaot reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Amen. Prepare the way for the Lord. Start with your own heart, with your own family, with your community, with your congregation, with your workplaces, with your city. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the Kedushim, or saints. Then the angel tells me, write, how fortunate are those who have been invited to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. How fortunate we are. We are fortunate. We are happy. We are blessed. He also tells me, these are the true words of God. I believe it is time to wear the fine linen tunic, the special garment of righteousness of the Lord. And it is a time to be ready to prepare ourselves for the Lamb's wedding banquet. This is the time. We live in such a time. Amen. In the end, I would like to pray for you. Let us pray for a moment. Let us pray, and I would like to ask the Lord to forgive us when we missed the target and went astray. I would like to ask the Lord to help us to stay in our path, to do our calling, to be filled with His Spirit, to prepare the way of Adonai in our lives. Lord, we come to You in the name of Yeshua, as a congregation, Lord, as a family, as Your children, Lord. We ask, please forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we went astray, Lord, when we missed the point, missed the target. Please forgive us, Lord. We thank You for Yeshua, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, our passion, our love. We thank You, Lord. We ask You, Lord, please fill us with Your Ruach, Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in Your Spirit. Help us to be Your ambassadors in this world. Help us to carry this treasure in our hearts everywhere we go, Lord. Help us to be the same in the sanctuary, Lord, and out there. Help us to be Your children, Your people. Thank You so much for Yeshua, for our Savior. Thank You so much for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your presence on this special place. We thank You, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Amen. I would like to invite my wife, Rebbetzin Ina. Let us stand together. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel. And before prayer, I would like to announce that in 2 weeks we will be opening Shalom Center. Yeah, thank you so much, and praise the Lord. And we'll have every Shabbat after the service, we'll have small gatherings there. For all of us who wants to be there, we will have coffee and some small things there in 2 weeks. We will announce it in the future. So let us pray together. Yivrecha Adonai v'ishmarecha. Yare Adonai panavalecha vihunecha. Issa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom. And please, do not forget.